Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Pride Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and boy, it's been a while, probably too long. It is an honor to have back the man I consider the godfather of downtown Little Rock, Jimmy Moses. Jimmy, thanks for coming back in. Oh,
my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rex.
We have a lot to discuss when it comes to downtown Little Rock. The first master plan, it is out there now. The public is reviewing it. Give me your overall feelings, how it came out, what really stood out in that plan to you.
Well, I think we were very fortunate in two ways. One is that we were able to, with the city council's total support, put together enough funds to go out and hire, I think, the top urban planning firm in the country, Sasaki and Associates, to do the plan. So that was a plus from the get-go. The other ironic thing was our timing. And I say that with a plus and a minus. From a plus, there are so many transitions occurring in American cities and their downtowns right now. And because of that, there could be no better time for us to develop a plan for the next 10 to 15 years, even though there is turmoil and confusion about what downtown America and Little Rock is going to look like in the next 10 years. With that said, looking at the plan product, which we now have in hand, I'm particularly excited about the connectivity ideas linking the districts that have been developed, such as the River Market to Soma, Argenta to the CBD, East Village to the Convention Center area. Those linkages will do lots to knit back together the fabric of our downtown. It'll take 10 years or more. It'll take some money. But if we can create handsome sidewalks, first-class lighting, landscaping, signage, with the idea that this is the glue that sort of pulls our city back together.
Right.
That may sound trivial, but I think it's quite important. The other big takeaway, I think, is that Little Rock has not kept up with comparable cities in the country, particularly as it relates to housing downtown. And because housing has lagged, you've got to look at the reasons why. And the big one that glares at us is that we lack incentives to encourage investment in our downtown, like our comparable cities, Greenville, South Carolina being an excellent example. We've developed 400 or 500 new housing units in the last 7 or 8 years. Greenville's developed almost 1,500. And it goes up from there if you look at Richmond and so forth. So big difference. And it has a lot to do, I think, not only with planning and the need to rethink the city, but also an incentive package that encourages and allows for a novel development.
You have built downtown housing. You've been the king of downtown housing through the years, various price points, various types, from high rises to redos of old apartment buildings. Give me some of your thoughts. I mean, I know it's easier said than done. Like I said, you've done all kinds of downtown housing. How do we speed that up? How do we get more residents living in this neighborhood?
Yeah, that's the question. First of all, we have to recognize that downtown Little Rock, as it has looked for the last, let's say, half a century, 50 years or so, is not at all the way it's going to look in the future if it's going to be a really successful core. And by that, I mean the uses of the CBD cannot be one-dimensional.
Massive parking lots we've got downtown, parking.
And the purpose of downtown for many years was to house the financial and office users. That's no longer the case. There'll be some of that, of course, but we have an inventory of surface parking and underutilized property that screams for redevelopment. And I think most of that property should be looked at first and foremost for housing, retail, and entertainment uses, which will begin to give the ambiance and excitement that we have in the River Market, in Argenta, et cetera, to the core of the city, something that's missing right now.
Yeah, yeah. You and I have, as we talked about these different neighborhoods within the larger neighborhood that we call downtown Little Rock, you and I have talked, and, you know, it seems like the emerging East Village, the River Market District, for all of its ups and downs, Soma, those are doing pretty well right now. That our biggest problem is right where we sit taping this, and this is Capitol Avenue, the old financial district, if you will.
That's absolutely correct. So what do we do? Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge and get buy-in from the two principal entities that make up the old financial district and core, and that is the office and sort of high-rise district meets state government. And in order to enhance the core of downtown Little Rock, I think the redevelopment with a first-rate plan for Capitol Avenue to become a true boulevard of distinction that rivals anything that's part of the country, that links state government to our CBD, with a commitment from state government that its future building projects will be along Capitol Avenue.
Exactly.
From the steps of the state capitol to the Boyle Building. If we can do that, even though that's a long-term process, I think you'll see a lot of good things come from that in the core of downtown. And then the other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is we have a lot of surface lots in the core that need to be redeveloped. Some of them have been there my entire life, 75 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they are a waste, but they are also an opportunity that we need to take advantage of right now.
Back to this quarter in state government, you mentioned the Boyle Building, which you're involved in, the Attorney General moving his offices there.
Yes.
You know, with all that needs to be done, but we sit right next door here, of course, in the Democrat Gazette building. I look up out of my window on the third floor, and I'm looking back east, looking back west out of my window on the third floor. And I can see construction fencing around the Boyle Building, and then across the street I can see construction fencing around the Little Rock Technology Park as it expands. That is a good feeling to see that kind of construction fencing downtown.
It is.
On two different sides of that major intersection.
And in the heart of the original downtown. But you also look right across the street from each of those projects, and you've got a full half block that's raised. It's a surface
parking. More surface parking, yeah.
Imagine if that was teeming with people. Imagine that's a downtown campus for UA Little Rock, perhaps a graduate school facility that has retail and the like on the ground floor, has space for students and for education on the upper floors, and perhaps, because mixed use is so important, housing on the top could be transformative for how people think about downtown. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to transform what we have now into what the future downtown has got to look like.
Yeah. And so, again, a lot of it comes back to a mindset, as you mentioned.
It does.
How people view downtown Little Rock. And for decades, as you've said, we viewed it as a place where you drove in the morning, you worked, you ate lunch, you went back to wherever you lived, whether it be West Little Rock, Saline County, Faulkner County, whatever.
If you look at the River Market District, and I'm not just talking about Clinton Avenue, but I'm talking about South 2nd and 3rd Street, the area that has gotten intensive development over the last 20 years, it works and works well. And it does because it has great connectivity. It has first-class sidewalks that are new. It has uniform decorative lighting, it has planted trees, and it has a variety of use. It has high-rise condos, it has low-rise garden-style apartments. It's got a wealth of hotel space, food and beverage. So it is the new downtown, and that's what needs to be developed throughout the west, to the west, and the heart of the city to really make it vibrant again.
Residential is still an issue, but we do have some progress to the west. I want to mention the old Lafayette Hotel. There is is a new hotel going there in there. And as we tape this past Sunday's Arkansas Democrat Gazette business page, I did notice that Parth Patel has pulled the construction permit for $2.5 million to finish the old Sound Peck, which is good news too.
I just drove past that, and it looks like an overgrown weed lot.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we can't just – even vacant property needs to look good while it waits for new uses. But seeing any kind of new projects that bring life and energy downtown is exciting. We just need more of it.
Absolutely. Let's break down some of, as I call them, the neighborhoods within the larger neighborhood of downtown Little Rock.
Okay.
We'll start with the River Market District, since you were really kind of the father of that. We've had a lot of talk about the renovation of Oppenheimer Hall, bringing some new life there. Where does that stand right now?
Well, it's a bit of a struggle, to be honest. The River Market District glowed and was the star of downtown for 20 years, but the combination of COVID and the impact of the I-30 construction has really taken its toll on the River Market. So it's being rethought. You mentioned Oppenheimer Hall. The Convention Bureau is committed to redevelopment there. That is good to hear, but they've struggled to find the right kind of developer to come in and do that. They have someone right now that they're I think in fairly deep negotiations with, they're not ready to talk about it, that could really change the flavor and feel of that, which will dramatically change, I think, the way the River Market operates. The other thing is that we are in sight of the completion of the I-30 construction project. This time next year, it ought to be near completion. Tidying up, cleaning up the mess that is the construction site now will be meaningful. But most of all, it will allow the regular kind of business that was happening there before to once again pick up. The retail merchants in particular, and to a lesser extent, the hotels and restaurants have struggled. And if you talk to the merchants and those folks, they'll tell you their business has been harmed, and they hopefully and patiently are waiting for the day that all of this is behind them and good things are happening there again.
Yeah. We'll go on down to SoMa. A couple of positive developments there is that the work moves forward on transforming the long empty old Veterans Hospital into housing, and you've got a lot of little developments happening in Petaway, and it seems that those can work together to pull that development further south all the way on down to Roosevelt.
I think the brightest light in the downtown area is really the SoMa Petaway neighborhoods. They're really growing together into a single place. And the reason, again, that SoMa is so successful is that it grew from the ground up. It has a variety of uses that include housing and a significant amount of retail now, which we have not had anywhere in downtown Little Rock since the department stores all left 40 years ago. Petaway is so exciting to see at neighborhood.
It really is. I was down there to have coffee one morning recently, and just to watch activities on those long, empty streets was exciting.
I drive that neighborhood once a week and carefully look, and it gives me goosebumps to see how that tornado-ravaged and written-off neighborhood is blooming back to life with all sorts of energy. And as I said, and you mentioned, it links nicely and creates that residential base that SoMa needs and that we need throughout downtown. So very exciting. And then all the way down to the VA and its development, massive gutsy project, I would say, but the kind of thing we need to have happen in our city. We need more of it.
We do. We do, and hopefully that will be a success. All right, let's go east of Interstate 30 to the so-called East Village as a downtown proponent. You know, I was disappointed that the line schools of dentistry and veterinary science are not going there. They are in Central Arkansas, so I'm happy for that, in Riverdale for the dental in Cabot. However, one thing that has changed from the last time the city went with the sales tax initiative to one they're currently doing now is a massive indoor youth sports complex that would be downtown now. Having raised two boys, one who played travel basketball, one who played travel baseball, I can tell you how much money there is in that. Jimmy, that seems like to me that would be awfully good for these downtown hotels and restaurants you were just talking about.
It's massive. You know, we have struggled to increase our funding base for development in Little Rock. And that historically has been, and right now it's on the table again, the increasing the sales tax. We have to do it.
I agree.
We need a united front from the city. I'm hopeful that they are all there with the mayor. There's some great pieces to that project and that vision, one of which is the youth complex, which I think will be built probably in the East Village if the tax can occur. Could be huge. Could be a soccer facility and stadium that could work for youth sports all the way up to professional sports. Could tie into the Clinton Library and the expansion there. We can't forget that.
I was going to mention that.
The Clinton facility will probably see another $100 million put into it. Very
exciting. If not more.
Yeah. And they have a studio gang and great leadership from the president and first lady on down to locals here in Little Rock who are dreaming big and continue to see the potential of that facility. So the East Village and east side of downtown, starting at the river with John Burkhalter's beautiful new project of arena, and then moving south into where the kind of the original work occurred, the paint factory and so forth. Now Sterling Market has moved in there. Very exciting and has potential to grow dramatically all the way to the edge of the airport.
Absolutely. Things going on now that I'll mention, the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra is working. You can drive by and look at the construction right now, and it's beautiful new headquarters.
Yes.
I also recently toured, I have a column coming up on it, the new Southern Tail Brewery, and that's going to be a beautiful facility, Jimmy, and that's the kind of thing that attracts more, especially young, talented people to that neighborhood.
Absolutely. You know, if you would have said that someone would go to Ninth and Collins and build a new craft brewery from the ground up.
And it's a big one and a fancy one,
Very nice. You said that even a year ago, you'd say, no way. But that's the kind of excitement that's happening. And we haven't mentioned it, but I must say the Museum of Fine Arts opening almost a year ago now has given us another cultural icon that rivals, starting with Crystal Bridges and really anything in the mid-America.
Yeah.
It's something very exciting that we have.
Absolutely, and a lot can build on that also.
Absolutely.
So let's stay near to that beautiful Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts. You know, about a year ago, I attended an announcement at the Chamber of Commerce on the potential of a bridge park over Interstate 30. Of course, we've also got the undeveloped almost 19 acres that the 30 Crossing project opened up. Where do those two things stand right now?
Well, they are addressed in the new Sasaki plan for downtown. They are critical components, but they're both big projects. They're long range in nature, and they need funding. The bridge development, park bridge that would cross I-30 between 6th and 9th, has a planning grant funded Work will soon start on that plan. Because we qualified and received $2 million for planning, it puts us in great shape for a construction match, mm-hmm. which would follow. There'll have to be probably at least 10% of the funds come out of central or out of the city, and the balance would come from the Federal Highway Department. But that is probably a $100 million project.
Wow.
Could be more, could be 150. So it's very large.
Yeah, but it's transformative in my view.
It would be fantastic.
In connecting that East Village development back to the old heart of downtown.
And if you look at the facility that's been developed in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Clyde Warren Park.
Exactly. Yeah. Good example of how that can work and work well. I think more importantly, though, for the short, medium range, the new I-30 park that you mentioned, the 19 acres, it's takes the place of the old exit into downtown Little Rock. And it's adjacent to the Central Arkansas Library. That's the one that we can address now. The land is there. As soon as the highway construction is complete, construction could start on that facility. But again, planning is necessary to do a first-class park. It's got to be thoughtfully done so that it's fully a positive. And it'll take unique funding, both public and private, I think. It's an opportunity for someone to step up, put their name on it, and create perhaps our own version of a Central Park for our city.
Yeah. You mentioned it was adjacent to the main branch of the Central Arkansas Library System, and I do want to mention another positive before we go off, and that is they're sinking more than $20 million into that facility as we speak right now. That's a huge development for downtown.
Absolutely it is, and they're thoughtful about it. They've worked hard to integrate positive new community thinking with traditional libraries. I think it's going to be an outstanding project, and it's kind of the bell cow for the River Market right now. Hopefully it will attract at least one new hotel mm-hmm. and some other development into that neighborhood in the next 1 or 2 years. There's some talk of that quietly in the city right now.
Yeah, let's go back to those 19 acres across the street.
Right.
What would you like to see there, Jamie?
Well, you may think I'm crazy. I'd like to see about half of that turned into green space mm-hmm. and open space. Which would be a handsome park that has both passive and active uses in it that is thought about such that it's not just an oasis for homeless and vagrants, but is lively and spirited and well-policed day and night. And then the other half of those acres, I think, should be redeveloped for housing and commercial space. That's tricky due to the way that the funding occurs mm-hmm. for a park and the highway, but it's not out of the question. And Sasaki has mentioned this as something we need to more carefully explore in Little Rock before we write that off. And I would challenge our city leadership to do just that.
All right. So we've talked about East Village. We've talked about Soma. We've talked about what's going on in Petaway. Talked about the River Market. Let's get back to our problem child here, mm-hmm. right on Capitol Avenue. The old bank towers, as I look to the west from where we are right now, is there a way cost effectively to maybe turn some floors of those to residential, or would that be just too expensive the way those buildings are designed?
Very challenging, to be honest. There's been talk about that, but the reality is the floor plates, the mechanical, the plumbing that run through an office high-rise tower that was built in the 60s and early mm-hmm. 70s, as those several buildings were, is not overly conducive to being converted
Understood.
To housing.
Yeah.
With enough money, anything can be done, but practically more difficult. What I think, and you alluded to this, is that the first effort needs to be a major rethought and redevelopment of the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
The old bank lobbies.
Oh, those would make great fine dining venues, absolutely, wouldn't they? As a guy who likes to eat.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what they ought to be, opened up to the street. You could have a variety of food and beverage opportunities there, retail, which could be developed there. And perhaps on the lower levels, before you get into the tower, there could even be some housing developed. So a creative use and thoughtful redevelopment of those towers will be great. And I'm hopeful that the new ownerships there will pursue that. But they're challenging. And as I say, I think I'd start on the ground floor first with the conversion of the bank lobbies into active, more dynamic space.
I try not to pull out cliches, but I can't think of anything right here but a cliche to lead into this next question, and that's the old, a rising tide lifts all boats. And so those buildings are best for offices. But it seems to me these other things we've been talking about, if we can get more residential, if we can get more parks, if we can get more attractions downtown, then it helps those buildings because more people want to have their offices downtown.
That's
again.
Absolutely, there you go. And that's the to me, the answer is.
And then you fill those towers up again,
right,
with
don't,
offices.
Don't force these vacant towers to do something that is economically and probably physically difficult at best and perhaps not really doable at all. Build around them on these easy-to-develop surface spaces, new housing, mixed use with some retail, and get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 new housing units into the core over the next 10 years. And then you'll see those towers refill because suddenly the office world will look at downtown and say, that's where life, energy, and people are. I want my office back into downtown. And I think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to execute our plan. We've got to be mindful that mixed use is critical, and it starts with housing. And we've got to have incentives in place that may require constitutional amendments to bring about,
yeah,
so we can compete with the cities and states around us who have already done that.
So we will end, Jimmy, this always goes too fast, we will end where we started, and that is with the new master plan. How do you keep that from being the proverbial plan that sits on a shelf with it and gathers dust? We always hear that. What are the steps we need to be taking right now that is being finished up?
Great point. The plan needs a keeper, an administrator, if you will. In my opinion, the obvious administrator is the Downtown Partnership.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The partnership has led that effort. We have an outstanding director there in Gabe Holmstrom, and he understands the plan. He understands the economics and the dynamics of it. And if the city will identify the partnership as a leader, and I think the partnership has the ability to staff up and to work on implementing the plan so that it's not just a document sitting on the shelf, so that it's a living organism that's worked on every day. And that's what it's going to take for us to have real success.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Moses, thank you. I always feel better after talking to you.
Well,
even with all our challenges, I feel better about downtown all of a sudden after the last 30 minutes.
Thank you for having me. And I would end by saying, out of adversity comes good things.
Mm-hmm.
We have some adversity right now, but change is close at hand, and I think it will bring better things for our city and our downtown. And we've just got to step up with our eyes open, with our pocketbooks available, and with good leadership, and good things will follow from that.
Absolutely. Jimmy, thank you again, and thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.